of you were here last Wednesday night. You were. Praise God. Well, a good portion of you were here. So I know that we had a powerful time in the Lord and in the Word and just seeking Him, and it was precious. And I would say this, if you weren't here, I encourage you, go and watch online. All of our services are uploaded online. If you weren't here Sunday morning, make sure you go and watch that service. You don't want to miss out on what God is saying to you individually. He speaks to us through His Word, but also saying to our congregation in every time that we come together. So I would encourage you to do that. And of course, I can't recap everything that we shared last week, but this is part two in what we're calling seekers. Glory to God. So let me just give you some definitions of the word seek. To search out, to strive after, to require, to diligently inquire. And one thing that the Spirit of God said to us last week is there are answers waiting in His presence. Yeah. Sometimes, oh, not just sometimes, every one of us at some point in our life, we have questions, we have decisions that we have to make. And we don't want to lean to our own understanding to make those, to answer those questions and make those decisions. What do we want to do? We want to inquire of the Lord. We want to seek Him and get the answers that are awaiting us in His presence. We used this scripture last week, and we'll just kind of start with it again in Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 14. I'll just read it out of the NIV. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Somebody ought to be thankful just for that. I am so thankful that we are filled with the God of hope. Amen. So many people in the world are hopeless, and unfortunately, even some Christians, the way they talk, you would think that, you know, God has fallen off of His throne. No, He has not. We serve the Most High God, who is able and who is willing to give us what? A bright future. Our hope is in Him. Amen. It's not in the economy. It's not in a man. It's in Him. Praise the Lord. So we know that our future in God is as bright as He can make it. I thought I'd get an amen there. Amen. So let's read on here. We're not going to preach on this verse particularly, but I just wanted to start with it. Verse 12. Then you will call on Me and come and pray, and I will listen to you. We shared it last week. So many people quote verse 11 and they're like, woo, God's got good plans for me. Woo, He's got, you know, He's going to prosper me. How do I discover those plans? Well, they're right here. These verses give us the answer. We need to call on Him. We need to pray to Him. We need to listen to Him. And then verse 13, you will seek Me and find Me when you seek Me with all your heart. God knows if we're seeking Him with all of our heart. He doesn't want any half-hearted praise. He doesn't want any half-hearted prayers. He doesn't want any half-hearted coming to Him. He said, you're going to discover what My plan is for you when you come to Me, when you seek Me with all your heart. And then He goes on, I'll just read the first part of verse 14. This is His promise. What a powerful promise. When we seek Him, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Aren't you glad that He didn't say, you might find Me? Or He might say, you know, if I, maybe not, I'm playing hide and seek with you. No, He guarantees we seek Him, we discover Him. We seek Him, we find Him. Hallelujah. He guarantees the outcome of a genuine pursuit. And that is an encounter with Him. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. So last week we looked at one of the wonderful Bible characters named King David. We looked at some scriptures about how he sought the Lord. And today, as I was seeking the Lord, it came up in my heart just to look a little bit at another Bible character named Moses. Anybody ever heard of him?
Oh, yes.
Moses craved the presence of God. And I was reading Exodus chapter 33. It's a good read if you want to read the whole chapter. But it was right after the giving of the law. And he came down from Mount Sinai. And it wasn't a good thing that he discovered. He found the people worshiping a golden calf. In his absence, they had made it. And their excuse was, well, we just took all of this gold and we threw it in this pot and out came this calf, so we thought we ought to worship it. That was not exactly what happened. And Moses was angry. He threw the Ten Commandments down and they broke. And then God said, just stand back. I'll save you, but I'm done with these people. He was ready to wipe them out. But Moses stood on the side of the people. Just like Abraham stood on the side of the people and contended even for Sodom and Gomorrah. That is a man that has a heart after God's heart. And he said, if you'll read it, what he did is he knew he had to get in God's presence. He had to seek the Lord. So if you look at verse 7 with me in Exodus chapter 33 out of the New King James, Moses took his tent and he pitched it outside the camp. And I like this, far from the camp. It's like, okay, God, I got to get in along with you. I got to get away from these people. I'm going to not just put my tent a little ways out, far from the camp. And he called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside the camp. This place was where he sought the Lord. These guys in the camp, they had a pretty bad track record. They were a backsliding bunch. They were easily influenced to turn away from God. So Moses said, I'm going to put my tent far away from these people. They are a distraction and probably a nuisance at that moment. So he said, I got to hear from heaven and I don't want to be influenced by what they're doing.
Amen.
You know, there's times when we need to put our tent outside the camp.
Yes.
Get our tent away from people. Get our tent away from the voices on TV and the talking heads and the fake news. I mean, you can't believe anything that even pops up on Facebook. It's crazy the stuff that AI is generating. Don't let that be the thing you're listening to. Don't let that be the thing you're seeking. If you need to hear from God, make a genuine effort to get your tent of meeting, your place that you're going to commune with God, away from all the chatter, away from all the distractions. We don't literally have to build a tent. You know, if you want to, build a tent in your backyard. That might be a good place to go commune with God. I don't know. But we literally need to draw a circle around ourselves. And we need to shut everything else out and just look at Him. That's what Moses did. And when he got in that place, God showed up and God talked to him. Verse 9, it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And I love verse 11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. There's a whole message in that too. Joshua was a seeker of God. And Joshua, he didn't know everything, but he knew he needed to be empowered with the presence of the Lord. He didn't know what God's plan was, but he knew he needed to seek God. Amen. So Moses continues his conversation in this chapter, and he's talking to the Lord, and he's saying, Lord, have mercy and grace on this people. And he didn't upset God that he asked that. He asked for his glory to guide them. And God rewarded his diligence in seeking him. Verse 14. And he said, he didn't say, I'm not going to be with you anymore. I'm done. I'm washing my hands of this stiff-necked people. I'm all finished. No, what did he say? Moses is saying, Lord, we got to have you. I got to have your wisdom. I got to have your impartation. And this is what God promised. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. I love that phrase. My presence is going to go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, Moses said to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. In today's vernacular, he's saying, if you ain't going with us, we ain't going. But God said, I am going with you. And I love how he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. As I was looking at that today, this came up in my heart. When his presence is on something, there will be rest. It's a sure sign that something is a work of the flesh and it's not God's plan if there's no rest, no grace, and no peace. He said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. We're to follow the cloud, the glory cloud, the presence of the Lord. Follow the cloud, not the crowd. Follow him. Let no one else or nothing else take the place due to him in our hearts. Amen. And if you don't have peace and you don't have rest, it's not God. And get rid of it. Don't do it. Don't go there. We only want to go where his presence is evident. And Moses had such encounters with God that it was evident when he came down off of the mountain the second time. And then when he said to the Lord God, I want to see you. And God said to him, no one can see my face and live. So he hid him in the cleft of the rock. And the Bible says he let his goodness pass by. Glory, his presence is good. The goodness of God. And he had such an encounter with God because he sought him and he desired him and he wanted his presence. That when he had that encounter, probably that night, he got in his tent with his wife and she was like, whoo, turn the light off. And he's like, the light's not on. Well, then put a blanket over your head. You're glowing. I can't get any sleep in here. It was evident. The presence of God got on him. Who we fellowship with, who we hang out with, who we spend time with, gets on us. You know, I don't really wear perfume much anymore, but when I used to wear perfume a lot, my husband, he's a good husband, giving me hugs, loving on me. And he'd walk away, and then I'd go to wash his clothes, and I'd go, he smells like me. Because we've been fellowshipping and hanging out together. And it gets on us. What's on God gets on us. Amen. Remember Peter and John over in the New Testament when they healed that man in Acts chapter 3 at the gate called Beautiful. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. And you'd think everybody would be happy, but the religious leaders weren't happy. And they had them arrested and they threatened them, don't preach anymore in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John, they were bold and they declared it was Jesus that healed this man, and they begin to preach to them. And I believe it's around verse 13, what the religious leaders said. They said something like this. It's evident. They took note. That's how it said it. They took note that they had been with Jesus. Amen. They took note that they had been with Jesus. And then the next verse talks about, and they couldn't say anything against them, because here stood the healed man. And they knew if they said anything against him, the mob was going to turn on them. Yes. I love that. They took note that they had been with Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. May that be said of us. Yes. May that be said about our church. May people that come in here, or people that even hear about what's happening here, say things like, it's obvious. They know Jesus. It's evident. They've been hanging out with him. They act like him. They talk like him. They look like him. We ought to glorify him. We ought to represent him in every area of our life. I'm not a clothesline preacher like old Pentecostal holiness, but I will say this, particularly women, cover the subject. Did anybody get that? Wear enough clothes to cover the subject. Hallelujah. Act and walk and look like Jesus. Bring him glory in all that we say and do. And people will take note. They've been with him. Miracles, signs, and wonders follow us when we've been hanging out with Jesus.
Ooh, yes, amen.
Acting like him. That's who he is. Hallelujah. How many of you want to be more and more like Jesus? Hallelujah. Well, now I want to get into the next part of my message. I'm not closing, obviously. Not yet. But what came up in my heart to center in a little bit longer here is rewards for the diligent seeker. Rewards for the diligent seeker. We saw Moses, he got rewarded for seeking God. Peter and John, they got rewarded for seeking God. You'll see that all the time in the disciples' lives in the New Testament. So let me read you a few scriptures about the benefits and the rewards of seeking God. Anybody interested? Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8 in the New King James. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, seek. We're talking about being seekers. Seek, and you might find something. No, seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Yeah. Is it important the way that we ask? Ask and you shall, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Years ago, I did a message on the acrostic for the word ask. And it's important how we ask. We're not whiny babies. Don't come whining and begging. We enter boldly. Come boldly to the throne room of grace. We belong there in His presence, seeking His face, gaining new power to run in our race. Come boldly to the throne room of grace. So how do we ask? A stands for this. We ask with assurance. 1 John chapter 5, verse whatever that is, where it says, this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, what's going to happen? It's going to be given unto us. In the Amplified, it says, ask with bold assurance. What is that? 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15, if you want to write that down. So number one, when we're asking, ask, A, for assurance and confidence. S, steadfastness. Have you ever asked for something and it didn't show up tomorrow? Or the next day? Or the next day? So when we are good askers, we have to learn to be steadfast. Stand in the face of time. Unmovable. Unshakable. Steadfast. Steady as she goes. Standing on the promises. I will not fail. Though the howling winds of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises. Steadfast. Glory to God. Some of you don't know, that's an old hymn, one of my favorite. I'm standing on the promises of Christ my Savior. Amen? So that's important. Now, K stands for knowledge. Find a scripture that covers your case. That's what our spiritual father used to always say. You remember that? Tony Dad Hagen would always say that. Find a scripture that covers your case. Then you've got the knowledge. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We just don't go off asking wild, crazy things that we don't find in the Bible. But if you find it in the Bible, that knowledge is fuel for your asking. And we can remind Him. He said, put me in remembrance. Remind Him of His word. I found this in the word of God. And your promises are true. They are yes and amen. So don't be one that's devoured by the enemy. Don't be one that's destroyed for lack of knowledge. Ask with assurance. Be steadfast. Have the knowledge rooted in your heart about what you're asking for. Amen? And those things will bring us assurance that we will be rewarded with answered prayer. We'll be rewarded with the things that we desire of Him. Amen? Amen. That was a little side note there, but it was good. And then another thing about being a diligent seeker and receiving the reward. You've heard of this scripture, Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are we supposed to seek first? Our career? A house? Cars? A relationship? God is not opposed to us having things. He just doesn't want things to have us. He doesn't want anything to take that place due to Him. You know what the litmus test is? I think that's how you say that word. I don't know, but there's that word close. Oh, I get it. Okay. You know what the test is? To know if things have you. Think about it. Think about that car. Think about that favorite outfit or whatever. Think about this. If the Lord were to say, I want you to give your car to Pastor Tom, what does that do to you? Does that make you say, I bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus? Or are you willing, Lord, everything that I have belongs to you? I mean, he gave it to us. He gave it to us. It's ours. But everything that I have, I'm willing to give to whoever you want me to give it to. That's the test. If things have us or we have things. Amen. He doesn't. He's not opposed to us having those things. He wants to bless us. But he does want us to keep him first. Then I like this same passage in the Passion, Matthew 6:33. So above all, constantly seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. I love that. You put him first, then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Above all, seek God and his kingdom. That means we aim and we strive to build up his kingdom, not ours. We're building his kingdom. It's not about us. People seeing us and praising us. No, we're seeking first his kingdom. We're building up his kingdom. Hallelujah. We're concerned about the lost, the hurting, the bound. First things first. Everyone deserves to hear the good news. That ought to be in our hearts. I'm seeking what your will and your plan is first. And seeking God is not a one-time event. It's a way of life. Seeking him and putting him first and his kingdom business above our business. When we do that, we will be, like it says, abundantly blessed. All these less important things will be given to you in abundance, abundantly. You know what that is? Material things are less important than spiritual things. But he said, if you put spiritual things first, if you put me at the top of the list, then all these other things will be given to you in abundance. Can I get a hallelujah? I think that's good news. Amen. If you're a seeker of God and his kingdom, you're in line for abundance. Hallelujah. Lesser things. Everything that you need will be coming to you and you will be fully funded in the name of Jesus. Can you handle a few more scriptures here? It's still early. Psalms 34:10 out of the New King James. Another promise of rewards for those that seek the Lord. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord, read that part with me, shall not lack any good thing. That's good news. Shall not lack any good thing. Now I want to read that same passage. I want to add verse 9, Psalms 34, 9 and 10 out of the Passion. Worship in awe and wonder, all you who have been made holy. For all who fear him, read that last part with me, will feast with plenty. I like both of those words. I like a feast. How about you? And I like for there to be plenty of it. So he says a promise. Hallelujah. All who fear him, all who worship him, all who reverence him will feast with plenty. The next verse, verse 10. Even the strong and the wealthy grow weak and hungry, but those who passionately, I like these two words, passionately pursue the Lord will never lack any good thing. Now we started out there in verse 9. He said, worship in awe and wonder. Do you still stand amazed at the awesomeness of our God? Are you still in awe of His goodness? Do you worship Him with all of your heart? Well, then the reward is you're going to feast with plenty. And you're never going to lack any good thing. What a promise. What a blessing. Let me ask you this. What is your good thing? Think about it. What's this good thing that you desire of the Lord? Maybe it's complete manifestation of your healing. Maybe it's financial increase. Some of you raised your hands. We should have all raised our hand. Yes, Lord. Thank you for that financial increase. And it's not that we want to hoard it up in our own lust and we want to go buy more of this or more of that. A heart that is right toward God and putting Him first desires more so they can give more and be a greater blessing in the kingdom of God. So don't even, don't be satisfied with where you're at right now. Even financially. And I'm hearing this. Some say, well, I'm retired. I'm on a fixed income. Who fixed it? No. You don't have to be on a fixed income when you're serving God. Go ahead and stretch your faith. Go ahead and get over into the area of increase. Of course, we need to be wise and we need to live within our means. But believe God for more. Why? So you can give more. So you can give to missions. So you can give to ministry. So you can give to this church and see this building paid off. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Don't be satisfied. We serve a God who said, you will not lack any good thing. So what else is your good thing? Maybe your good thing is freedom from any kind of bondage. Maybe your good thing is restoration of broken relationships. Your good thing may be your unsaved or your backslidden children and grandchildren coming back into the kingdom of God. That might be your good thing. And you know what? If you're a single man in here, I'm not going to ask a show of hands, but finding your good thing might be finding a godly wife. You know, the Bible says, he who findeth a wife findeth a good thing. But I heard one minister add in there, you better put in there who findeth a godly wife findeth a good thing. Because if you just find a wife and she's not godly, she's just a thing. No, you want to find a good thing, right? A godly wife. So if I got any single men in here or watching online, I have a word for you. And the word is pursue. Pursue God with all of your heart. Seek Him first and then you zone in on that godly woman. Amen. Don't just be waiting. Go ahead and do what you know to do. And women, pray Him in. And while you're doing it, be specific. Pray for a honey with money so he can bring that money and on over into the kingdom of God. Well, that's all extra, but it was good nonetheless. Hallelujah. God doesn't want us lacking any good thing. Amen. So claim your good thing in Jesus' name. Amen. We got one more here about being a rewarder for diligent seekers. I know I'm going a while, but you know what? It's Wednesday night. So we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11. We're not going to read all of that. But you know what? Hebrews chapter 11 is amazing. It's part of what we call the Hall of Faith chapter. All the Bible characters that attain the promises of God, every verse will say, by faith, Enoch walked with God and was not, by faith. Abraham, by faith, Sarah, yay, we got a woman in there, by faith, Jacob, by faith, Isaac, by faith, Moses. And did you know what? The by faith that they obtained the promises of God are the same faith that you have. You could read that chapter and put your name in there. By faith, Tony. By faith, Pastor Tom. By faith, Ann. By faith, Christina. By faith, George. Put your name in there. We ought to be in the Hall of Faith. Amen? By faith, we're obtaining the promises of God. Well, verse 6 of Hebrews 11. By faith. And I love, he put this right in the middle of these great men and women we just named. He's letting us know we can have the same rewards that they received when we walk in that same faith. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. Amen?
Amen.
I rest my case. There's rewards for those that diligently seek him. And the word diligently, some of the definitions means working hard, paying attention, and not giving up. As I was praying today, I heard this phrase. Don't give up. You're closer than you think. Don't give up. You're closer than you think to obtaining that promise, to seeing the desired end result. And this is a really strange illustration for me because I know very little about sports, but I live with a sport fanatic who's taught me a few things. And actually, I heard a man of God, Chip Ram, gave this illustration years ago. I know we're coming up on the Super Bowl. I know that's happening. And whatever, don't care. But, you know, I know they're going to be playing on a football field. And I know that a football field is made up of yards. And I know how the furthest one, what is it, 50 yards? No help. What's the furthest yards in a football field? 100 yards. Okay. Well, all I know this. They get smaller the closer you get to the goal.
Yes.
And there's two goal posts on either end of the field. And what Chip Brin shared this years ago. But as I was praying today and I heard that, don't give up. You're closer than you think. You're not on the 50-yard line anymore. You're not even on the 20-yard line anymore. You're not on the 10-yard line anymore. Some of you are on the first. Is there first? The 1-yard line, not first. The 1-yard line. Which means all it's going to take is just a little push. And you're going to score. Hallelujah. Woo! Just a little push. And you're over that 1-yard line. Hallelujah. Woo. Does anybody receive that? Glory to God. Everybody stand with me. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. You are the rewarder for those that diligently seek you. We thank you, Lord. Ha, 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 ha. Woo. We are not giving up. We are not going to stop pursuing. Woo! We are closer. We're closer. We're closer than we can even imagine. Hallelujah. Woo! We're about to receive the end of our faith. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I think that we ought to just seal this message with a little praise. Has anybody received that word? Yes. Don't give up. You're closer than you think. Woo! Now, Pastor Tom, if we can sing something upbeat or whatever and praise the Lord, but let me give you this scripture first. Psalms 40, verse 16. Just listen to it out of the Passion. But let all who passionately, I like that word, passionately seek you, erupt with excitement and joy over what you have done. Let all your devoted lovers rejoice continually in the Savior, saying, how great and glorious is our God. Well, I know we got some passionate seekers in the house. So it's time for you to erupt with excitement and joy. Ha, 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 ha. Because the manifestation is just right around the corner. Woo! Hallelujah! You're on.